In 2021, Talk About It Outdoors partnered with an industry-leading brand that has stamped its name on the outdoor industry. Cruiser Saddles, in itself, stands on perfection. And with every climb we make, we elevate ourselves above the rest. In addition to a support to our hunting journey, the men and women behind Cruiser believe in the same principles of life as us. Faith, family, and the blessings of being better as they go in every sit. If your desire to pursue your passions one step ahead of the rest, go ahead and get in the best. Check them out on all the socials or head over to their website at www.cruiser.com. That's CRUZR.com. And tell them to Talk About It Outdoors boys and Chasing Weekends sent you their way. The journey of life has a unique way of being able to create tried and true friendships as we go. In forming those relationships, oftentimes, good things come to follow. Talk About It Outdoors is proudly supported by Cal Hardy, the Barrelhead Land Company. Cal is the leading broker over Georgia and is happy to assist you with finding the place where you can call home. With vast knowledge and an understanding of the ever-evolving real estate market and a unique old-school approach to everything he does, he exemplifies what it means to treat others like you'd want to be treated. Don't settle for being just another number in a phone. Choose Cal Hardy for all your land, home, and commercial real estate needs and become a part of his family. We sure are blessed to have him as a part of ours. Find him on Facebook, Instagram, or give him a call at 770-296-2163. Step back to the times when a feed store was more than just that, and the people inside smiled with friendly faces and provided a place for a talk on life, as well as all your essential farm, livestock, and pet needs. Cherokee Feed and Seed, located in Ball Ground, Georgia, with an additional location in Gainesville, are the hometown supplier of all your cattle, equine, and pet needs, with the added addition of being able to keep your deer herd healthy with protein and minerals. They also carry an assortment of hunting blinds and gear, and you can rest easy knowing the people that support local ball clubs and children's sports are who your hard-earned money is going to. The people here greet you with a handshake and a smile, and Cherokee Feed and Seed give more than just a product. They give you a welcome that'll make you return time and time again. Stop in next time you're in the area and tell them you're part of the Talk About It Outdoors family. A few years back, when an overbearing and overgrown backyard became an eyesore, I looked for a solution to resolve. LRS Land Services created a stunning and complete transformation turnkey at an affordable price with their mulching services. Not limited to mulching, LRS can provide turnkey grading and clearing, maintenance, right-of-way clearing, and even development for any and all forestry needs. With an innovative outlook on what is best for your land and a completely different approach than others, LRS can transform your overgrown eyesore into a beautiful landscape of your dreams. Give them a call at 404-889-1105 or check their work out on Facebook at LRS Land Services. Logan and his team are ready to make your land brand new again. Building the foundation of your life starts at the base, and the stronger it is, the better. Talk About It Outdoors is proud of our strong partnership with United Concrete and Paving and the foundation of support they provide. Whether your new home being built needs concrete work or that driveway you're tired of beating all the bearings from your pickup needs a paving, Michael and his team can provide any residential or commercial project support you might need from the ground up. If you're tired of tripping over that unsettled patio slab or a future shop build needs a smooth start, United Concrete and Paving can get you going when you need it most. Give them a call at 404-831-3036 and make sure you tell them them TAI boys are where you heard it first. Nick, before we begin the show tonight, let's pause in remembrance of our dear friend Cal Hardy's brother, Mr. Brooks Hardy, who passed away in a tragic accident earlier this week. So we'll pause for a few moments here in remembrance. Cal, our thoughts and prayers go out to you and your family. Please be much in remembrance of Cal's friends, family, and everyone that was impacted by this tragic accident. So we love you, buddy. You ready, Nick?
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, Talk About It Outdoors coming to you live from the Cruiser Saddle Studio, episode 199. We rolling right on up into 200. And if you can believe it, Nicholas Wilson himself had me in here tonight playing turkey calls. It's December the 20th. We're knocking on the door of Christmas. Y'all pull up a chair and sit a while. This is going to be a good one. Nick, I think this episode's actually going to drop on Christmas Day. If it we drop be. It that it day, yeah, we might as well. Somebody's probably going to work that day down to Walmart or Waffle. Walmart's closed on Christmas Day anymore, ain't they?
I think so. I think that's the only day they are closed now.
I think so. So yep. Josh is here in studio
Waffle House
with
is
us
the only
tonight.
Thing open.
And Chinese restaurants.
Chinese restaurants will be open.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, haven't
yeah,
you ever seen A Christmas Story?
Yeah, at the end.
Where's the duck?
Yeah. Fra ra 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 ra.
Smiling at me.
Oh my goodness, this is gracious live. Well, as we said in the beginning of the show, our thoughts and prayers go out to Cal Hardy and his family as the loss of his brother. You know, it's got to be a terrible thing to go through. I know him and his brother were really close. We got the news earlier this week, and it's been very very heavy on all of our hearts, and we, you know, we just want to say, Cal, we love you, buddy. If you need anything, you know where we're at. Anybody that's out there that's been impacted by this, you know, we love you, and if you need anything, you know where we're at. So definitely much in thought of that.
To answer the question about Walmart, they will be closing early on Christmas Eve. They'll be open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve. And then they are not open on Christmas Day.
So both the cash register attendants can be with their families.
Did you see that online?
I have a story about that.
Did you see that? I think it was something on TikTok or Instagram Reels I saw today about talking about the husbands getting their wife something as they're getting closer and closer. It's like a prep day, like a little bit closer to Christmas, guys. All right, we're down to the last 30 minutes. Get your shopping done.
Yeah, I saw that. Somebody had posted it saying that they were getting their shopping done. I'm glad I don't have to worry about that myself.
My Christmas shopping's done.
Mine is all
just a few things
done.
I did buy.
Yeah, didn't buy much. I did listen to that last episode. It was I thought a lot about what you said, Josh, on that last episode about it may not mean much to you, but somebody probably put a whole lot of thought into getting that gift. So that's a pretty good word to put out there.
Yeah. I mean, buying presents for people is not easy. I mean, you rack your brain and you're like, man, I want to come up with the thing that they're going to get and they're going to really enjoy, be able to get a lot of use out of or be special to them in some kind of way. And then you give people that present and they're like, oh, cool, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of, it'll sink your soul a little bit.
Yeah. When somebody
my daughter's like that. My 18-year-old, who's actually, 19-year-old, she just turned 19. She doesn't have a lot. She doesn't express emotion that way. She's like, all right, cool. Thanks. Like, she may really love it, but you can't tell at all. She's got quite the poker face.
What's the worst gift you ever got? You don't have to tell who got it for you. Or what do you think the worst gift you ever got is?
I don't have a worst gift. I don't have one. But I tell you, I got one that comes to mind that I gave somebody. So, I don't have one that I've got, but let me tell you a story real quick. It's funny. It'd been a lot funnier for everybody. I wish I could have videoed this years ago, but we just, every Sunday before Christmas, we always go to my grandmother's house and we do Christmas down there. And my uncle always has some type of game. It'll be like a bingo game. It'll be some other type of game we'll play. And then he'll, like, if you win a prize, he'll hand you these. Usually he'll buy scratch off tickets. So, We we've done it for years. It's just a tradition. We played it this past Sunday. But one year I went down there to, what was that place in?
Spencer's.
Yep. I went down there and bought some of them fake lottery tickets. And I gave them to my uncle to pass out. Well, it couldn't happen to a better person. My cousin, Cole Clore, won. And I think he was probably, He was probably 14, 15, maybe. I don't know. But it was just a perfect time, man. He scratched that thing off, and it was $10,000 winner. He was so excited. Like, and everybody was kind of in on it. And he was scratching that thing off, and he was showing everybody. He was so excited. He didn't know what to do with himself. And somebody finally said, if you flip it back over, it's got like, you know, you fell for this, blah, blah, blah. He got so mad. He ran out the door, didn't come back out there. He went to his house because they just live over the hill there. We still bring that up every time we're together on that Sunday.
So, that's really mean, though.
That is terribly mean.
But it comes up every time.
Well, and you talk about lottery tickets. We were going to Florida, and Jessica bought one. And she's never been one to play lottery much. And she scratched it off, and she's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I won $100,000. And I was like, let me see that. And I was like, how did you win $100,000? She's like, it says it right there on there. It's $100,000. Look at the number I scratched. I was like, it has to match these numbers up here. And she's like, oh. She thought she'd won it. Have you ever won anything on a lottery ticket? Or you ever been a big lottery ticket player?
I'm not. I bought one time when I was old enough to buy it. I think I was 18. I bought one, and I won $1,000 on it.
It sucks winning $1,000. You got to go to Dalton or Atlanta to cash that joker
I was actually working for Greg Nicholson doing plumbing and had a job down in downtown Atlanta. So it worked out. I went there the same day and cashed it in.
You had to pay $300-something worth of taxes on it at the end of the year.
I had enough money to come back and pay that little Ford Ranger off, though.
Nice.
That's what I used it for.
I won $1,000 once on a $20 bill I found when I was landscaping. I was landscaping in a yard and found a $20 bill, and I bought a $10 ticket, a $5 ticket, and it tells you how long ago it was. I bought one can of snuff, so it was a $5 can of snuff, under $5. Scratched the first one off and didn't win nothing. Scratched the second one off, $1,000. It was a $10 ticket. I've won $500 three times. $2 jumbo on every one of them.
Okay.
Me and Cousino won. We got out of work one night, and I went in there, and I told him, I said, I'm going to buy a lottery ticket. And I bought it, and I scratched it off. Went in there to cash it in. They scanned it at racetrack and said that I'd won. And she's like, I don't have the money in the drawer to pay you. And I was like, I'll just run up here to this other store. I went up there, and they're like, this ticket's already been scanned. You know, so we can't give you the money. So I went back down there and I told her, you owe me $500. They won't. So I had to stand there for an hour and wait on her to get cash in the drawer to give me the money. It was in one. I said, I don't care if you give it to me in quarters. You can give me rolls of quarters. I don't care. You're giving me my money.
I've won here like bits and pieces, but that's the most I've ever won.
Well, I ain't going to say the guy's name, but a guy I worked with years and years ago when I was working in the city of Alpharetta, but me and him went to every Friday he would go and cash his check, and he would buy a lottery ticket, and he went in there and you've heard this story, hadn't you?
No, I don't. I haven't, but
he would just cash his check and put the money in his pocket, and he scratched off a lottery ticket and just throwed it in the floorboard. And I just picked it up to look at it, and I was like, hey. Like, I think you won on this one. I got to look, and he'd won $10,000 on that ticket, and he was like, oh, okay, and just stuck it above the sun visor. Didn't even faze him. I still tell him that all the time. I said, I could have took that ticket. He said, yeah, you should have, dumbass, but you didn't.
Let me clean your truck out.
Yeah.
Pull over and take
it. I got to put it in my pocket and went on. $10,000 to me at 18-year-old would have been, or 19, it would have been a pile of money.
I wonder if he was testing you.
He might have been, but
he was testing.
No, he wasn't. He was just that kind of guy.
You're 18.
The Lord tested me.
Yeah, he tested you.
Well, I passed the test. I couldn't have felt right taking that money. I felt right finding that $20 bill, though.
Yeah, I don't play the scratch off, but I don't even know. I don't even recall the last time I bought one.
I've not won in a long time. Nothing big. I've won a couple $100 here and there, but I buy them. I don't even hardly buy them anymore, though. I like gambling too much. I get addicted to them if I start buying them a bunch.
Well, I always say it's a self-imposed tax.
Yeah.
99% of the time, you're not getting nothing.
No, you're not getting nothing.
And you get to scratch on a piece of paper for a few minutes.
Yeah, I've saw those videos where they buy whole rolls of them. They come out on a losing streak. But where did I see that the other day that guy had won two? Maybe it was on the radio or the news. Some guy in New York has won twice now.
The Powerball?
Yeah.
Something like that. I've seen that. Yeah. It was not the Powerball. It's a Mega Millions or something that he's won twice.
Well, you know, and then I heard another story. I don't remember where. Maybe it was – I don't know why I'm thinking Steve Ranella told this. But the guy had won the Powerball, and they got to looking into him. And he had a way to figure out the system somehow.
Really?
Maybe I dreamed that. I don't know. Google that, Jamie. Do you think the AI is going to, I mean, not that that has anything to do with outdoors, but do you think that's going to have effect on the lottery?
It's so random. I don't know how AI could have anything to do with it. I mean, the probability of certain combinations of numbers, you definitely can determine if there's a higher probability based on the past winnings. I'm sure there's a combination of numbers that have won more than once. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how the AI, I don't know how any kind of AI would generate that random number.
But too smart for me. I don't know. We'd have to call a mathematician on this one. But I would think that even if the same numbers have been drawn more frequently, the odds are still the same because it's still drawing individually every single time.
Right.
But that's just my theory.
So hey, there are 30 most popular combinations in the lotto game. What are the 6 most common winning lottery numbers? 5 most popular numbers are 61, 32, 21, 63, and 36. The most popular Powerball number is 18. Least popular numbers, 13, 34, 49, 29, and 26. And the least popular Powerball number is 15.
So there's a movie. I don't remember what. It's on one of the streaming services, and it's like Harold and Maude or something. I forget the name of the movie. I'll have to look it up. But it's got Bryan Cranston in it, and he was a guy that he worked at like a cereal company or something like that. And
I saw that.
He was forced into retiring, and so he got to looking at a particular game that a particular lottery game that they played in certain states, and he figured out if you play enough, you win. Like the more you play, the bigger you win. And so he started doing that completely legitimately, and he made a ridiculous amount of money. And then at some point, some kids from MIT, I think, figured out the same thing. So then they started doing the same, and eventually the game got shut down. But they weren't cheating. They just figured out the system that nobody else
figured. What streaming service is that on?
I think it's on Netflix.
Is it?
I know what the movie's talking about. I've seen it. It's the guy that played the father in...
It's Bryan Cranston.
Malcolm in the Middle? Was that the movie? The TV show?
He was the dad. That. Yeah. The show that he's really known for is Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The old... What's his name?
Yeah, the ball-headed guy.
Yeah.
I could never get into Breaking Bad.
I couldn't get into it either.
I watched about 6 episodes.
What was the...
It's Jerry and Marge Go Large. That's the name of the movie. And you can watch it on Paramount Plus.
What was the name of the movie or the TV show? Weeds, with the girl, the woman, mm-hmm. the housewife.
Yeah.
I watched that one.
Up until she's a widow.
Up until she married the
I watched a couple of seasons of it. That was pretty much it. But it was funny. It had...
I have no idea how we got down that rabbit hole, but...
You talking about now?
Yeah.
Oh. We're on a podcast, man.
Had Kevin Nealon in it.
Yeah.
He was like the school principal and a major pothead.
Do you like B-rated movies?
I like all kinds of movies.
Like Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Have you seen that?
I haven't watched that one, no.
Or the Danny Trejo movie, Machete.
I have seen Machete.
What's the one that him and Danny Glover were in where... They were old boxers. They were like old warheads or something.
There's one where, like...
What's a B-rated movie?
So...
Ones that don't make the big screen?
Basically, they're movies, low budget, not as quality of...
Like Chase the Weekend.
Productions. Yeah, we're probably B. We're a B-rated something.
Might be a C.
We might even be a C. Yeah, I don't even know if we've made it up to B level yet, because they generally have a star in them, so... We're probably C-rated at best, but
speaking of YouTube, while he's looking at
Badass and Badass 2.
Oh yeah,
Badass 2 is the one with him and Danny Glover.
Yeah,
and they're like old dudes, and they just whooping on young guys. I forget
on the bus is where it starts.
The context of it, but like,
you remember the grandpa that beat the kid up on the bus? The guy tried to try him.
Well,
that movie was kind of loosely based off of that, and it started out that way. So,
I'll get back to that question I was about to bring up, but the Netflix shows, Kelsey watches them sometimes, the movies. Have you seen where I guess they're filmed in another country, and then they take them here and put the voiceover, and their lips do not match. I can't stand.
It's like old kung fu movies.
I cannot stand watching that.
You young grasshopper, go hard on the paint. What'd you say? And your lips just.
I can't. They're hard to watch.
They're gonna think we hate the Asian people.
No, they're
going to
think you hate the Asian people.
And I don't at all.
I haven't heard anyone else make any comments.
Not here.
Well, you're the one that brought up Asian movies.
No, I said kung fu movies.
Well, all right. Have you ever seen many white kung fu movies?
Why would the only other option be white kung fu movies?
I mean, that's just, we're white, so I was just going with it.
I've seen those redneck brawls they keep playing on.
Oh, man, what about old buddy from Canton going down there and winning it? Hey, his, that's another, well, I'll bring that up later. But anyway, yeah, that was redneck brawl. They've been wanting to howl. That's rough. Blue Ridge Battler or Bash or something, he got knocked out.
I think we need to get Mulkey signed up in that.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Did you see that?
Justin Denny that we went to school with fought in one.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Did you see that that old redneck boy from Arkansas got laid out?
Oh, yeah. Bad.
K.O. Did you see him start shaking?
Quivering.
Did you see that?
No, I don't.
You know what I'm talking about? What's his name? Blake Mitchell?
No, you're talking about, what's his name? Thug
that
Nasty.
That UFC
Bryce.
Fighter.
Thug Nasty.
That UFC fighter, that little, that he's from Arkansas. Told Trump that he would, if he needed to come up there and whoop somebody.
Mm-mm, I haven't seen it.
I'm not a big UFC guy, but I see the highlights on it just popping up on my feed.
Was it a UFC event?
Yeah, this was.
He's Bryce Mitchell.
Yeah, Bryce Mitchell. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty scary.
But you know, if you watch his stuff, and I was a big Bryce Mitchell fan, but he has something that's broke loose in his mind as far as his thought process on things. You know, now he's a flat earther. He's not about round earth, and he has accused the Masons of being a devil cult and bashing all kinds of stuff. He's off
the
reservation.
There's no telling what that fighting does to the brain.
Good God, get hit that many times ahead. And Bryce, I'm not talking crap about you. If you listen to this little podcast down here in Georgia, I ain't talking crap about you or nothing. Maybe you want to come on and explain some of your thoughts, and I can explain to you.
Which one is that one?
But yeah, I don't know what kind of damage it gets. I mean, I've had pretty few good licks to the noggin. It's probably thrown me off a little bit. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
I think it messes a lot of those guys up. That's what happened. That's why Dale Jr. got out of racing, because he was having so much problems. But no, what I was going to ask earlier, we got off on a big rabbit hole. You know, we kind of put on the notes there, and I don't know if you guys want to touch on it, but kind of talking about some recaps in the year, and you know, I'm sure everybody's got some stuff that they can learn. But one of the thing is, what's something you guys watch this? What's something who have you started watching this year on YouTube that you really like?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's anybody new that I've watched that we didn't watch in the past. I mean, of course, we're all into the do-it-yourself hunter now, really, really hot and heavy. And, of course, following along with I'll tell you something that I've really got into in the last couple of weeks again is I guess there's been a resurgence in and this is not hunting related at all, but the barbecue scene has really made – you know, it's been Pitmasters kind of took it to the top, and it's kind of been back and forth and down, but artisan barbecuing is coming back again. It's making a new resurgence. There is a ton of new shows on there, and Arts Barbecue, it's ARTS, and it's something else after that. You search Arts and it's going to come up. It's kind of like these series, and I love little barbecue series and things like that, but it's a new one that's going around the country and kind of focusing on new age, new era, kind of new generation barbecue stuff. So I don't know, I'm really big into that barbecue. I love watching cooking shows because I like to learn stuff from them or whatever. But that's just one that I've really got back into again.
So in terms of hunting, do-it-yourself hunter is one that I didn't even know anything about until, you know, we had him on the show, you know, and we hadn't really talked about him before. So I've watched a lot of their stuff. And I watch a group called Donut Racing, which is really a car YouTube channel, but the way they do their YouTube channel is really, really excellent. And so when I watch them, I think about how we could apply some of the things that they do in the future, you know, when we start developing more content. One of the things that I really love is they do their own ad spots for their merch.
Kind of like Kip Campbell does his.
I don't know.
You know, you've never seen him.
Uh-uh. But essentially, they'll start their video, and then they'll take a quick break. You know, you're going to get ads on YouTube no matter what, but they actually take a segment of their video, and they're typically about 20 minutes, and they'll talk about their new merch launch or whatever, things that they've got going on. And I think it's really cool because
full-time YouTubers, I guess.
Oh yeah, it's a huge channel. They're making all kinds of money.
Yeah, I think the do-it-yourself has kind of been new to the scene for me. I didn't watch them until this year. I started watching them back in early turkey season when Brandon had told me about them. But those guys, I think, just the way they hunt is kind of so relatable, and to some of the things, how I look at things, the way they say stuff, and I think like, man, I've thought about this, you know, and never said it, but I enjoy watching their stuff because to me they really teach, especially Jeremy. Daniel's good at it too. He's young, he's very smart, he's a good hunter, but I think Daniel kind of goes in a little bit more detail sometimes on how he's doing stuff, and I get a lot of information out of him. I started watching the Element guys this year. I get a lot of information out of them guys because they're always moving, and I love these guys that go in there because they hunt just like we do, and they get a short amount of time in a place and they make it happen, where I feel like I need to be more aggressive after watching them sometimes and not second guessing myself. So I think that's probably what I enjoy most about watching those. I like watching, like, you know, Jared. I think Jared, you know, like we said before when we had him on, I enjoy watching his stuff. Bill Winky's, you know, one of the smartest guys I feel like in deer hunting. But I feel like sometimes those guys can hunt a little different than the way we want to. But yeah, I think the do-it-yourself hunter, I think they're, to me, they're especially, I mean, this is my first year watching them, man. They have dropped some daggum deer, and especially Daniel, man, he's on fire.
I think you get a little bit of knowledge from all the shows that you watch, like the DIY guys. You can gain more knowledge. I get entertainment value from Jared's videos. I get entertainment value from Heartland Bow Hunter. I get entertainment value from Small Town Hunting, you know. I don't get that much entertainment value from watching Daniel and those guys, but I get knowledge. And I think it's different days. There's days I want to get knowledge, and there's days I just want to sit down and watch something. I can, you know, halfway pay attention to it and still get it.
You wait for the deer to drop.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that's something that's been missing from a lot of hunting shows, including, the mainstream ones. They're just there for entertainment value. And I think that's changing. You're starting to see people teach more. I tell you, somebody that's really cultivated that and changed the way they do their show is Lee and Tiffany. I don't know if you've watched any of theirs since they started, primarily put them on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Very, very knowledge driven. They kind of try to teach a little bit more that I've gained as of late.
It's helped me watching these guys too, now that we're filming and putting stuff out. It helps me to feel like that I need to explain what I'm doing because somebody else might pick up on a tip. And I guess I am the guy that goes there for knowledge only. I don't really go there just to watch a show, even though you get ingrained in these series, I guess you could call it, with these guys, and you follow them along. But I go there for the knowledge. So I feel like it's funny, and I don't feel like I want to steal nobody's line, but sometimes when they do stuff, just like I said a second ago, like, I feel like, man, I've been doing that for years, you know?
Yeah.
But I've never thought to share it or do it or anything like that. It's kind of like
second nature.
Yeah, we were talking at the hunting property this past weekend, me and Rob, and I don't even know how we got on the subject of it, but I was like, man, I wish I had a video camera 20 years ago.
Oh, God.
Some of the stuff that I was doing with my dad when we were younger, like hunting public ground, that's what we hunted, or we hiked back up in Dawson Forest and all this stuff. And now it's like, now I'm trying to find private ground to get off public ground. I think we've had this conversation several times, but like the, you know, public land hunting back then wasn't cool. People just went and did it because they had to go hunt there because they couldn't afford a lease.
I think in time you'll see that shine wear off a little bit.
I do too.
The public chase.
Yeah, because the challenges, it's so much more challenging.
Very.
And a lot of people would be like, that's not worth it.
Well, and I was having a conversation with, well, let me rephrase that. I did not have a conversation with them. I posed a question to them to ask on their podcast, Missouri Woods and Waters, ask about their annual coyote kickoff. And one of the questions I asked them was coyote hunting becoming a fad sport. Mm-hmm. And I they didn't think necessarily that it's a fad sport, but I honestly think it is. I mean, especially night hunting, thermal hunting, it's become such a fad to get into. They see the videos, they think it's so cool, and then they realize, well, it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be.
It's not, but they're right when they think it's so cool because it is so cool.
It is, yeah. And but the thing about it is, and they made some very, very interesting points, and it's something that I've started really focusing on is we've killed all the stupid coyotes around here. Oh, yeah. The stupid ones are dead. There ain't no more of these. Every once in a while you catch a, you know, quick run in 2-3 minutes, but the days of going to every stand and the first 5 minutes you're going to kill a coyote, they're getting slimmer and slimmer and slimmer, especially for the areas that we hunt, and it's getting harder and harder. So getting creative with the way that we approach the way that we coyote hunt is something that I'm starting to study very, very much, the way that I hunt and the areas that I get in. We've called from the same spots 15 different times. Them coyotes know that ain't a coyote there. They don't necessarily know that there's not one in those group of trees that's 200 yards that we had to walk to. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's one of the things that we're going to start. And I want to do a full coyote episode sometime after the first of the year. We get into turkey hunting, and we're going to do a coyote episode. I've got a couple of guys that I want to get on to have on chat with, because there's definitely been some big changes in coyote hunting. And like it's hard. You say coyote or coyote?
Depends, I guess.
Who you're talking to?
I've heard it both ways.
I think sometimes I'm like coyote or coyotes.
Or yotes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've never been one to say just yotes. Like, I mean, I'll say it, but like
I will say coyote. Like, if I'm talking about hunting, I'm going coyote hunting.
Yeah, that's the way I say it.
If I'm just talking about coyotes in general, I will oftentimes say yotes.
Well, let's go, you know, you bring up an interesting point there, you know, talking about the things that's changed. Let's go all the way. Let's go back to the beginning of the year, and let's kind of chat on things that may have recapped over the year. So let's go all the way back to the beginning of January. Let's say January, we really didn't do much. February, I think I made a coyote hunting trip to the Midwest. I think I went in March too. And then you and I went in March too on our turkey hunt down to Florida. So big things came from that. I mean, we made great friends. You got to meet all my buddies down there. We both got to meet, you know, Jamie and his family and Beckett and all the, you know, the children that were there. And so that really has kind of given us an opportunity for the future there, as far as having somewhere to stay with Billy and Stoney and Eric and Benji and all the boys there and Breezer. And you just got to meet all those people. And I always think, I always like to ask this, were they exactly like I described them? I mean, you've talked to them a bunch since then. I mean, you've got to meet them all and stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
They're a wild bunch.
Yeah.
Bear, we got to talk about Bear and Sasha. And
they stay up a little later, no Nick likes to.
Professional Bud Light hunter or Bush Light hunters down there. They can kill some cool beers.
Yeah, they can. They keep the aluminum in stock down there, boy.
That is true. But, I mean, it's, you know, it kind of led into later on in the year with Jamie and them coming and seeing us at Alabama and spending time there with us. And so then we went into, you know, kind of in the summer. And I tell you what, talk about it, outdoors was on the road this year, boy. It was crazy how many shows we had. You know, we did so many trade shows this year. We were busy. We were wide open. And I think that taught us something that just ain't really our scene to go and do those all the time.
Not that many back-to-back. Just well, like that. That was tough.
I think that was the bigger challenge, was you had Alabama, Georgia, Beauchute, right, bang, bang, bang.
And we had one more right before. What happened right before that? Something happened. We had four or five.
We had NWTF in February, and then the one in Cherokee County.
But we had something happen right there. We had about four or five different things happen. I went on vacation in June, and then July it started. It was just bam, 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 busy. Bam.
Yeah.
It was a busy summer.
And for us, the trade shows aren't about going and marketing and making money.
No.
You know, we spend money to go to a trade show.
Yeah.
It's about networking.
Yeah.
And think about the relationships we've built from those trade shows, though. I mean, the guys that have came to the bow shoot and stuff. I mean, you talk about old meeting too.
I know.
You know, those guys, and we comment on their stuff. They're always commenting. Did you see what he commented?
I didn't see what he commented, but I was going to give him a shout out now that you mentioned it about their, look like they wore the daggum doves out in Argentina.
Over 8,000 birds shot in 4 days,
gonna,
I think he said.
You're going to have to flip that cord off your vest, buddy. You're going to quit wearing that vest when we podcast. He's got this cord off his headphones to the listeners, just rubbing on his zipper. That's what you. That's what you're hearing.
There ain't nobody hearing that.
It's a zipper on his vest, not his blue jeans.
Lord have mercy, baby's got her blue jeans.
Now, you know, thinking back to kind of before we get out of summer there, but thinking back to, I think it was February, what it kicked off, like now what I wouldn't imagine when I went down to Perry last year to the Georgia State Open for the calling competition to put me where I'm at, where I'm going to be headed for this February.
Yep.
But that kicked off that. For me for that year, and then I had a freaking crazy turkey season.
We can't forget going down there and walking in them river swamps with KT.
No.
I mean, talked to him today. He said, let's do it again. That's getting in there and getting with them.
Yeah, we had a roller coaster of a turkey season, but it's not like you said, summer was wide open. And man, I just kind of learned so much looking back from this year, just the things that I want to do different as far as. As everybody knows by now, you know, film different a little bit out of the saddle, but, and then I want to do more instructional stuff online, especially with the turkey hunting stuff. And hopefully it helps some guys out because, you know, I wouldn't be in the place I am now if it wasn't for people that were putting videos out there on YouTube and showing us, you know, that, hey, you can go out of state and travel and you can do it inexpensively, or you can find these places, or you can go to these competitions and you can get better, if, you know, so things like that. I want to see other guys. I want to see, you know, I enjoy that about watching people, man. They want to see, I want to see people climb up to the top with us, you know.
There's no videos out there, and I've looked, and I'm here to tell you, and this is coming from somebody that don't know Jack Diddley squat about turkey calling. There's no videos out there showing what you did today on that video. You know, I had you record, what was it? Just a plain yelp. I had no idea. I mean, guys that don't spend a lot of time around it, they have no idea how to prepare for it. No. So I honestly believe, you know, you've talked a lot on growing turkey calling competitions, you know, bring your kid out, bring your, nobody knows how to do that stuff, you know. I mean, they know how to call a turkey, you know, per se from turkey hunting, but turkey calling competitions are a totally different ball
totally
game.
Totally different.
So
it's not about being the best turkey caller or best turkey killer in the room. I mean, you might go down there and you might kill, you know, 100 turkeys a year or whatever it may be, and might be the best hunter, but you got to work on your cadence and where it's going to help you in the woods, you know. So you know, I may do this, but I'm going to talk with you about it and see what you think. But the first competition for everybody listening, I actually told somebody today, is, you know, January 20th. It's down in Harris County, Georgia. The details, everything, if you guys want to look for calling competitions, go to NWTS website, go to events up in the top left corner, click events, scroll down, and you can hit calling. You can hit banquets, whatever, hit the calling. And it'll show you every state as people start plugging them in. Or you can go to Facebook and follow Turkey Calling Contest. And people will post on there all the time of their new contest. But what I was going to say is, and I'll go ahead and say it, if you guys come down to the Gollin competition and call in the Hunter Division at Joe's Contest January 20th, I'll give everybody that comes a free mouth call. I'll make everybody a mouth call that comes and participates. I know that's not a big, huge prize, but hey, at least come down there and see what it's about. And if you don't want to call, just come down there and chit-chat and hang out with us and talk to us, because I'm sure everybody, you know, I think as more people get involved in it, and I think more people are getting involved. I saw a lot of young kids in it. But like you said, Alex, when I first started, nobody, I would look on YouTube and be like, you know, what's excited in you? You know, I would be searching for stuff. And you can find stuff, but really, I mean, if you can find some real hens on there, that's your best thing. But you still don't.
You don't get that from somebody. I mean, you can watch a hen the way that she acts in the woods, mm-hmm. and mimic that, and probably kill more turkeys by doing that. But and I'm speaking from experience here, and this is 100% true, 100% experience for somebody that has. I didn't grow up turkey hunting. Everybody knows that. I've never been a big turkey hunter, but I'm getting more and more into. What are you laughing at?
Now your beard's rubbing on that.
My dog, you're all the time.
Do you not hear it?
Yeah, I could hear it, but.
Sorry.
I bit my vest.
It is just the vest.
It's just a vest.
For everybody that can't see him, he's just wearing a vest. He doesn't have any shirt on.
No pants. Yeah. I'm wearing cowboy boots and a vest. I do have on whitey tighties.
What year did you get that Popeye tattoo on your armpit or your arm?
On your armpit?
That Popeye tattoo on your arm?
Where?
When did you get that? Was that back when you was in the Navy?
Talking about these guys.
You never see that Popeye tattoo people get?
No, he couldn't get Popeye. His arm wasn't big enough. He had to get olive oil.
Olive oil. That's more what I look like. But the turkey calling aspect when it comes to competition, I have only picked up notes and ideas of it from being around you and Carrie and listening to people talk. But I think the thing that would be good for you to do was kind of explain that stuff and do, I'm going to do my best to try to get to a point where I feel like I can at least go down there and do what they're asking. Cause I want to go to that calling competition. Just, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to it January 20th. FIBA won't see a fool made out of themselves. I mean, I'm probably going to be, but I'm going to go down there and I'm going to try my best between now and then over the next, well, it ain't but month away from today. It's a month. So try to go down there and call. I mean,
you know, it's kind of like the calling competition is about like shooting a big buck. It's just something you can't practice for until you get up there and do it. You know, you don't realize how much the nerves, and Hunter told me, and I said it on here several times. I feel like I repeat myself a lot on here, but I guess we do if we've done 200 daggum episodes nearly. But, you know, Hunter said, when you first start calling, you're not going to be able to get that call out of your mouth. He was right. I about joked on it. But, you know, the nerves, I don't know why it does it to you, but you just got to get up there and do it, man. And I hope everybody shows up January 20th down there, and then there'll be another one followed back in Perry, Georgia at that. That's an outdoor show.
You're going to have to drive down there and probably drive home too, because I'll probably have to have three or four beers before I get up for the call. Just get up early.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Can you smoke between sets? I don't smoke cigarettes, but.
Take you a vape pen. Is that what you want? Take you a vape pen. No, it's that.
Oh my goodness.
I think that just kind of wrapped up for the year for my turkey stuff, man. I'm excited. I'm actually really excited this year. I've already started. I haven't really put them down, but I'm really excited for this year's calling competition. But you know, looking back from the talking about the deer hunting side for my recap is
well,
really
we ain't finished up show season yet. We got to talk over our shows before we get into deer season. I just wanted to say, you know, or ask the question. What was one of the highlights from show season? And it could be something that stuck out in your head. Just think about that. For me, it was getting to see some of the same faces that we got to see before. You know, it's always something very cool. And we've talked about this a lot. And of course, going into 3 years of doing this show, you have people that come up to you at a trade show and they're like, "Hey, man, I met you the first year y'all were here and I've started listening to y'all's show and I really enjoy listening to it. Y'all bring me back to this. Y'all bring me back to that." Or they come back or they say, "I came to this show to get a new hat," or, you know, "just because I've been wearing this hat so long," or, "this is my lucky hat." And I don't think people realize when they say it, and some people might, but how much that means to us. You know, when I see somebody in a picture that I may not even really know, you know, but they're wearing our hat, you know, with our logo on there or something that they felt enough of, or they enjoyed the hat, or they liked that enough, or they thought enough about it to come back and tell us a story, you know, and it never gets old. I love those people that walk up to you, and NWTF's one of those places you meet so many new faces. I mean, I'd never been before last year, and I'll never miss that show. I don't care if I just go to, if we don't even have a booth, if I just go up there and hang out for 3 days.
What was the question again? Sorry, I got sidetracked.
What's something that stuck out in your mind from show season?
I got one, but real quick, I want to give a shout out to Rob's grandson, because you're talking about hats. He got to the hunting club. I think he goes to Teasley. But he got to the hunting club, and he told me Friday afternoon, he said they had hat day, I guess, at Teasley Friday. He said two or three guys in there had talked about a hat song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's all the time. And you go to R.M. Moore, and I see the dads. You know, I see Brady Cornelison. I see his boys, and there's all kinds of people I'll run into in there. They're like, "What are you doing? You know, talk about it." They think it's just saying it, but to me, it brings a smile to my face so much when I hear that stuff. So,
I guess one thing that stuck out in my mind is we met. You guys have all listened to this. You guys probably heard us talk about Slim, you know, that with the Slim Reaper Productions. We met this guy through my buddy Hunter. He travels on the opposite side of the world, meets this guy that he goes bear hunting with, grizzly bear hunting. This guy makes his way back to Nashville, Tennessee, hangs out with us in the booth at NWTF, and has found his girlfriend through all this, and now they live together. And I just think, like, how crazy and small is the world that things like this can bring people together. You know, and I told Sam this the other day on here. I don't know if he'll listen to the podcast because I know he's doing some guiding now. But I was like, man, what if you wasn't standing there in the booth? You know, you probably wouldn't have talked to Cheyenne. He's like, I know. He's like, that's crazy, man. I just happened to be standing there and she was wheeling by. So I don't know. I just find things like that pretty interesting.
Oh, it's looking no. I'm looking at that can of Royal Pink Salmon there. There's a can of salmon. Why are those cans not square, like a round can?
That's a thought by Alex.
What?
That can's not perfectly round. It's sloped down.
All salmon cans are.
Really? They taper down at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You see that, Josh?
All salmon cans are like that, if I recall.
Huh.
Even the red ones. What's the red ones? You always buy the Royal Pink, I guess.
Yeah, that's what we've always bought. I believe that's what we've always bought. I'll say that.
I don't know.
Just make salmon. Do you pick the bones out of your salmon patties?
I've never cooked salmon patties a day in my
life. Have you not?
Nope. Never cooked them.
Well, the only time I've ever cooked them was in Illinois because Jess could kill me if I cooked salmon in the house. But
Yeah, Sam, Alex is real excited about you. He's thinking about
salmon. Sorry, Sam. Well, hell, he come down here and spent a whole weekend with us.
Yeah, what about that? I mean, just crazy how this little small hunting world just links you together with people. And it's not just hunting. That's anything you do.
Well, I think it's just who we are as people. You know, we genuinely want to meet folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't know how to put it into words for people that can't see it for us when we meet people at the bow shoot or GON or the World Deer Expo. When we see them somewhere else, I may not remember your name, may not remember your face, but if you tell me a story or something, I'm like, oh yeah, that's, you know, you or whatever. And I mean, like Bentley, that little boy you give a turkey call to, or you bought a turkey call, and I think the Foot on the Head boys, there's another group of guys. We don't talk about them nearly enough. I mean, them guys are great. I mean, we run into them all the time. And I love it. That's just the bow hunting league. I mean, you know, Ben and them, I mean, you went to GON or to World Deer Expo that first year, didn't even have a booth there. We met them and we've talked to Ben, and him and Matt came down and stayed with us for the bow shoot. I mean, and had a great time. And I don't know. I think those trade shows just, they can really drain you mentally, physically, and emotionally over a 3 or 4 day period, you know, whatever it, cause it's usually a week or two's worth of prep to get there.
Longer than that for me. Most people would probably think I'm crazy for the thought process. I mean, that I put into these booths, you know, whether it's whatever we're going to do, but I'm, you know, I was thinking about putting the booth together for NWTF, and me and Cody did put the booth together like 3 months ago just to kind of see how it lays out and trying to build stuff for it. But, you know, I just want, like you said, I want to see all these people. I want to see all these people succeed, man. You know, the old saying is rising tides raise all ships, you know. So, you know, I don't want to see nobody fail at this, because then I want us all to be in the same game together.
Well, I'll say this. You know, Chase with Chasing Limits, he called me the other day and he texted me. He said, hey, I want to run something by you. If you get a chance, give me a call. So he called and he said, listen, I got a chance to buy some podcast equipment from a guy. He said, I just wanted to ask you, is it going to, you know, upset you if I do a podcast? And I was like, it's not going to upset me a bit, brother. I was like, if I can help you out in any way possible, I'll do anything I can to help you. If you need any pointers, whatever it is, I will help you 110%. Because you and I both know the struggle it was early on. We ain't had nobody to help us. Mm-mm. I mean, we literally were online, Googling this, checking on that. And it was every week, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week. I mean, even that's the early days. We was There was weeks we was doing 4 or 5 podcasts a week. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did 51 episodes up till this episode right here. 51 episodes had dropped. That's an average of 1 episode a week for a year. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's year 3. Go. That's year 2 to 3. That means we did 150 episodes from year 1 to 2. So you think about the time that we put into this thing early on, learning it, doing this, doing that. If I can help somebody out with this, you better believe I'm going to offer any kind of help I can, because those guys have supported us from day one. They've wore hats. They've came to shows. They've came up here to bow shoots, hung out with us. So, you know, shout out to our boys over at Chasing Limits.
Well, their podcast is called Southern Banter.
Southern Banter, yep. Yeah. Going to focus highly around duck hunting. They're going to focus around that. Chase has got ties with the GON guys, the DGD. They've got a podcast, and they're really close friends. And he said, you know, he'd love to do something with us anytime they can, because I really do genuinely like Chase and Chandler both. I mean, they're good dudes. They've always been good to us. We've always had a good relationship with them, and I've honestly felt like they've never wanted nothing but success for us. So, you know, shout out, boys. There you are.
Well, one thing I'll say about there may be a misconception about competition, because when you start talking about podcasts or YouTube channels or whatever, consumers of an outdoors podcast are not going to be like, well, I listen to talk about outdoors, so I'm not going to listen to the other podcast. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If it's good content, they're going to consume it. Mm-hmm. Period.
Well, there are people out there, and there's a podcast that's in the industry that has a very, very loyal following, and they won't listen to anybody else other than to throw shade on them. And you can probably gather the group that I'm talking about. But I've seen them throwing shade on another podcast, which I don't like the podcast they were talking about, but I'm not going to come on here and bash them, and none of our listeners are going to do that. That's just not – we've never chased – the controversial topics to make ourselves successful. Now, will we talk about them? Absolutely. You know, we'll bring them up on here and give our opinion on it, but it's never been about chasing those controversial topics to gain something.
I think your average person is not going to be that way. For instance, like myself, I listen to probably 15 different podcasts, to include our own.
Me too.
And they vary in all different kinds of genres.
Yeah.
But I listen to our podcast. I listen to Ranella's podcast. I listen to Bear Grease. It doesn't really matter. Hunt in Public, I'll listen to them all, because there may be something for me to learn from any of them.
Mm-hmm. I do the same thing.
If I get to the point where I'm not getting any value out of it, I'll probably stop listening. But it's not because I dislike those people, where I think that, you know, I'll just choose to listen to something that I feel like I get more out of. But I think in terms of someone else starting a podcast, we're not going to be upset if people listen to that podcast, because it doesn't mean they're not going to listen to ours.
Sometimes I pick up stuff, you know, listening to a podcast that I feel like it'd be useful on here. Or sometimes I might hear, I mean, there's no telling how many guests that I've heard on different podcasts that I've reached out to get them on here. I mean, one of my favorite episodes, probably of all 199 of them, is the Bradley Cohen. And I heard him on Wired to Hunt podcast talking about the deer vision. And that's been one of my favorite episodes. So I do enjoy listening to those guys. Just like going back to the YouTube thing, you know, you pick up stuff like traveling out of state. I didn't know that was a thing before I started watching YouTube. I didn't know you could go hunt turkeys in different states. Never crossed my mind.
Well, the thing about hunting out of state to me is, like, I never thought it would be something that I could just go do on my own.
Yeah.
My immediate thought was, oh, wait, I have to pay thousands of dollars to go with a guide or an outfitter.
Exactly.
And sometimes, to find out, that's not the case.
Sometimes the simplest things are right in front of your face and you just don't realize it. Yeah. You know, you don't put two and two together.
You just got to put the legwork in yourself. And, you know.
You're talking about trade shows and going down that. We met Michael Perry at the World Deer Expo. And, of course, Michael's become pretty well known for his public land tactics and hunting the way that he does, but he was the first episode of 2023 for us.
Okay.
So that was pretty neat to meet him and then circle back up with him and be able to get him on. And, you know, we did, well, I mean, you can talk about first timers. We had Travis on just right after that. And so that opened the door for Travis to join the team and be a part of us and everything. And what a journey that's blossomed into. I mean, and that's been the neat thing for all of these episodes. I'm going Max Mangrello. There you go. Sam was in episode 153, February the 6th is when that one came on.
Oh, so, wow.
I mean, you think about it, but I feel like we've known.
I feel like I know Sam for 5 or 10 years.
And then we threw back to Dave again. We didn't record one, and we threw one back for him. Mm-hmm. And then NWTF, and we went into Turkey Talk, Bo Brooks. So if you wanted to know what the top episodes, top 1 to 5 episodes for 2023 were for us, episode 1 was the Michael Waddell episode. That was the most popular one of the year. Episode 2 was the throwback to Dave Owens, which was, I mean, that understandable. People went back and listened to that one again. Episode 3 was the Biff episode. Mm. So Biff McGee's episode we did with him. Episode 4 was Bo Brooks. And then I don't remember what episode 5 was, but no, it was Hunter Lemoyne.
Okay.
So that was number 5. So 2 Penhody episodes in the,
they're wearing
in the
them top out, boys. 5.
But and I probably enjoyed that Bo Brooks episode. We don't talk to Bo that much. We'll see him in NWTF, but he probably won't even remember doing that episode with us. But I enjoyed that one. It was a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. He's big in the duck hunting right now. I think he's partnered up with some other company or something, or I forgot what he's doing. I see him on TikTok from time to time, but he'll be making the turkey videos pretty soon. But no, I think, you know, long term though, for the next year for me, for gold is, I guess I'm asking myself this question, but I want to get better about creating more content for our YouTube. And I know we're holding back for series, and it's really tough to hold back and not put it out, you know, while we're doing it, but it's also hard to put it together to get it put out when you work full time. But I want to do better about just little things, like just, you know, if it's a minute or 2 minutes long, just stuff we can post on YouTube to maybe help people throughout the season, something maybe we learn. You know, I made that lock on tip and put it on my TikTok about swapping those cables out to chains. I think that thing's up to like 20,000 views, and people are like, I've been hunting out of a lock on for 20 years and never thought to do that. He's like, those cables suck, you know? So just little things like that you pick up on that people can, you know, one person might see it and spread it out there that they can change.
Do you think that you would ever want us to go to a semi-live format with the seasons?
I think yes, if once we polish our skills to everybody's editing and we can figure out how to start doing episodes like around 3 to 4 or 5 minutes. Yes, I would love to do that. I think that would help us on the YouTube side to grow that, so we can put an episode out and it's over. It's over with, and we ain't got to worry about it. Yes, I would love to get there.
The reason I ask is more so for myself, because I feel like I can build a much better story when I do them soon.
Yeah.
You know, if I wait, like I've got all my Illinois footage to go through still, and I am really worried about trying to paint the story there, what I'm actually going to put together for it. Because what was the end goal or the end game in it all? I was writing notes down this morning. I got up early this morning and was taking some notes, and
that's old Buck Grunt brought to you by
this Buck Grunt brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. It was funny trying to remember all the little things and go through what I've got, because I've started breaking down my footage. And no, I would love to go to a more not live per se, but maybe a week or two out. But like you said, I think it's all been a learning game. I mean, it was hard for us. It takes, you know, 2 or 3 days of sitting down and looking at it, what I can do in a couple hours tops now.
Yeah. But the more that I've watched these guys on YouTube, and I know most people, it's all about the kill. It's all about the thumbnail. I mean, if our thumbnail had 185 inch deer on it, we're going to get a lot of views, but that's not what we're doing it for.
No,
we're doing it because we want to get on there and tell a story and leave some information, and it's our hunt, and we need to make about ourselves. So I think if we can learn to start putting out episodes for the consumer that may be watching us, that, you know, it's, hey, got to get on there and catch it. They dropped another one out today. They dropped another one tomorrow. They're so-and-so. And we don't have to be on no schedule with it. You know, yeah, I would love to do that. I think, yes, I think we need to do that.
That's just a question.
Everybody's going to have to commit to do it, or yeah, you're going to be falling behind.
Well, hey, I consider you the producer of Chasing Weekends. Oh, I do. I mean, I feel like if that's what you want to do, the direction for the podcast has always been you and I, and, you know, what we decide to do. And if I've got an idea, you've always ran with it and kind of let me go with the direction I want to go with that stuff. With the video stuff, you, the guy that didn't want a video and didn't want to do anything with it, grabbed the bull by the horns and said, I want to do it this way. So if that's what we want to do, I say we do it. And, you know, but we've got, how many episodes did you, well, hold on, let's not get ahead of ourselves. So we're done with trade shows. Trade shows were great. You know, we went over that. Let's talk deer season real quick. I mean, cause it's getting down to the nitty gritty. Most seasons are going to be closing up within the next few weeks. If you're not in an extended archery only county, you're going to be ending on the, what, 15th of the month.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So season's going to be over at that point. How many people, let's say there's 100% of hunters are hunting today. How many are going to be hunting after January 1st of percentage wise?
Probably 25%.
Okay.
I think you're already down to 50% probably, less.
At least.
I think the drop off after November
I think once you get past Christmas here, I think it might even be lower than that.
When I went back up to Illinois, I did not see a single truck on any of that public ground up there.
Yeah. I mean, only reason I'm geared up big time right now is because I feel like I might catch a late season deer. But once January 15th gets here, even though I got property for extended archery, I'm not going to go. They're already starting to tune the beagles up. I'm ready to go rabbit hunting.
If you need somebody to stand in, let me know.
You like rabbit hunting?
No, I'm talking about
your deer hunting.
Oh, my deer hunting spot, yeah. Before I forget, because this came to my mind, we was talking about YouTube and stuff, but talking about me being the guy that didn't want a video or didn't want to do this stuff. If I can give anybody any advice, I don't care if you go out and spend, you know, if you spend $50 on a GoPro 4, if you deer hunt or turkey hunt, buy you a video camera and video something, because it's hard work. It's very hard work to go out there and set that stuff up. I'm not going to lie. I don't think I've never missed since I've owned the camera. There's never been a time that I've left it at camp or left it at home. I take it every time. No matter how frustrated I get. Even when I don't have a camera, like now, I've been borrowing cameras. But I'm saying this to say, like, because I've went back now and I looked at footage on deer I've either shot at. I've looked at deer that I've seen and just went back and be like, man, I should have shot that, you know, looking back now, or I shouldn't have shot it. And it's just like, you can go back and look at those memories, just like me and Ryan sitting there with his son killing his first deer. Like, they'll have that memory for the rest of their lives now to go back and look at, and just go buy a camera, guys. If you ain't got to go out and buy a big camera, you ain't got to put it on YouTube. Just fill up SD cards and leave them at home.
So, I think it was last year, year before, I was starting to think about filming some of my hunts. And so I went on Amazon and they have, I think they're called Akaso or some brand like that. It was like $50 for an action camera and it shoots in 4K. It's pretty high quality for being $50.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get into filming your hunts for really not that much money.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you use your phone. There's a lot of guys that do that.
That's right.
Especially with the way the cameras on some of the phones are now.
Ton of guys use their phone.
Yeah.
Big push. Don't think you can't do it. I mean, that's a big thing.
And you don't have to do it for YouTube. You know, you don't have to do it for that. You can just fill up SD cards. But just like I said at the beginning of the show, if I'd had a camera 20 years ago videoing some of the stuff that I did with my dad when I came up hunting with him, you know, that was like the stuff you see on Hunting Public. Like, we were crossing rivers with waders. We would set a string line up with a pulley system and pull the waders back across the river so the other person could put them back on so we could cross to get over there to go to Dawson Forest because you couldn't drive over there at the time. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we did that, like, I'm like, I look back now, like, we were the Hunting Public back then, you know?
But, well, and I think that's something that we've, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, we grew up in a different time where there wasn't cameras. You know, if you had a camera, don't put that camera on me. I mean, it was like, don't do that. Don't drag a camera out, whatever. But I'll spin off and ask you this, Josh, because this is really, I guess going into the summer was when you and I had the conversation about you kind of joining the team and doing stuff with us. Probably
yeah, it was right spring. Before WTF.
So early season.
Yeah.
Well, earlier in the year. Going back to, because you and I have been friends for a lot of years, going back to, I guess, a couple of years ago when we started doing, and you were always coming to shows and things. Did you think at any point that you'd really kind of get this much involved with it as you have?
Oh, I knew the first time I heard y'all show that if I ever had the opportunity, I would be as involved as you would let me be. It's always just the hunting in general, like the opportunity for me able to be around other hunters that have some of the experiences that you guys have and learn. But not only that, being around you guys at the show and just kind of, and the networking portion of it, getting to know other people. Right. And even if you don't develop a relationship where you're talking to people for a long time, having a 5-minute conversation with somebody at a show can
change a whole narrative of everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think to answer your original question, yes, absolutely. I knew I would get as involved as you guys would let me, without a doubt.
I remember I called Josh that day. I was like, listen, I got something to bring up to you. Just think about coming on board with us. And Josh was like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, no question. There was probably some expletives in there too. Mm-hmm. It was actually a big shock. And even still, like, I feel blessed and honored.
Yeah. And I think that's something we talked about earlier this year was we got Travis on the show, and I told Nick the night that he left, I said, we need to get him involved with us more. And you and Travis are a lot alike with y'all's intellectual. Y'all both have a very strong willpower.
Mm-hmm.
Travis's is more of a goofy willpower, and where yours is more of a stern willpower. But y'all both are very driven, determined individuals. You know, y'all don't like to take, just like you going back to Illinois by yourself. I mean,
yeah.
Most guys wouldn't have done that. I mean, 90% of our team wouldn't have done that.
And well, I think in regard to that, I kind of always feel like I'm this close. You know, like I'm so close to achieving the goals that I've set for myself. It feels anti-productive to not do that thing where right. I go by myself to Illinois if that's what it takes to get. And even so far as looking at trying to get out to the stand that you guys recommended to me, I wasn't going to not get there. You know, as hard as it was and as dumb as I may have been, there was no way I was going to not get to where you guys recommended. You know what I mean? So I look at that as kind of a metaphor.
I didn't know a hurricane had hit it.
I look at that as kind of a metaphor for how I try to operate, especially when it comes to hunting.
Was there a triggering factor for you to go up late season? Did you hear something or see something and you're like,
no,
I'm gone?
No, I knew I would go.
Okay. You ever watch something or listen to something? And I've done this before, probably a lot more than, but like you see something, you watch somebody do something and you're like, I'm going to do that. And then you think back like, I shouldn't have done that.
Oh yeah. I've done a lot of stupid
like,
stuff.
Not like that, but like I wish I'd have never saw that because now I'm obsessed with this or I'm doing this or no. you ever think anything?
Yeah. The one thing that I can tell you, if you do you talk about things that I wish I had never saw, the biggest there's one thing that always sticks out in my mind. Yeah, I wish I had never in my life seen this. I'm gonna let you guess what it might be. I wish I had never seen it.
The Nasty Nine?
No, no. It's not a deer individual. No. It's not, no, that's not.
No.
I don't think I could guess it.
Cody Watson. No, I'm kidding. Thermoscope.
No, I enjoy that. I wish I had never in my life.
Started podcasting.
Ever. No. I wish I had never picked up the idea of cooking. And when I say that, people's gonna be like, well, hell, they ain't nobody. I am infatuated with snacks. in making snacks.
Okay.
I lay awake at night thinking of snacks.
You also wake up in the middle of the night and go get snacks.
I'm not talking, well, I'm talking, not talking about sweets. I like sweets in the middle of the night. I love thinking of snacks to make, you know, dips and little snack cakes and not snack cakes, but I was trying to find, what's the little frozen, they look like flowers. They're dough. They're little light dough things you feel. They look like, oh, I pinned it on my Pinterest. Hold on, let me go. Yes, I have Pinterest. I got to go find this right now because
he's
this
about
is
to get flowers. Lost. He's about foam, to get lost in
soft. Pinterest.
They're dough flowers.
Hold on, D-board.
You talking about them little orange candies?
Up.
Little soft candies.
Here I can go here.
Oh, them Wong Tong things.
Are you talking phyllo shells? Flaky phyllo, phyllo shells.
Yeah, phyllo dough.
They're those. So that's.
Let me see.
I think you use phyllo dough for like making baklava and stuff like layers.
You do? Yep. Yeah. So they make those shells and you can buy them.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could buy those. I thought you had to make those. And I asked Jessica, I said, do you have to make those? She's like, I think you can just buy those shells.
You probably can, but you could. Yeah, they're probably not that hard to make either. If you had a like a
don't put more thoughts into my head. I'm already in trouble on this. So my Pinterest board and people that can make fun of me if you want, I don't really care. It's cheesy jalapeno poppers, pig shots, jalapeno poppers, Christmas tree, spinach dip breadsticks.
So I understand where you're coming from.
I wish I had never discovered the art or the idea of making random snacks. Why not just put a pile of sausage balls out there on the table? Why not just but there's something that intrigues me about making and I'm still chasing. I guess it's kind of like chasing deer. I want to make a snack. When people eat it, they're like, that's the best thing I've ever eaten.
The apex snack, like the pinnacle of snacks.
Yeah. Do I ever seem to amaze you with the stuff that I
talk about it outdoor snack sticks?
I mean, I like to make, you know, snack sticks. I mean, but there's something about the and it drives me insane. I love cooking shows. I love Guy Fieri. I love watching anybody that cooks on TV. Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives, all those people on there.
I have one for you.
All right, go ahead.
So there's a YouTube channel called Epicurious.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Where they have like they have a series where they'll have a home cook and a pro chef, and they will one will make like a $15 quesadilla and the other one makes a $300 quesadilla, and they flip flop ingredients, and then the home chef or the home cook has to try to make what the pro chef was gonna make.
And yeah, see, I don't like elegant cooking because I don't think it really fits the narrative for who I am and some of that stuff, but I would like to try it.
Yeah.
You know, the eating of it, I don't want to try to make that crap, but I want to try to eat some of that stuff that's really expensive. I don't know. And don't get me wrong, I love cooking stuff, but I will lay awake at night and it troubles my mind, food.
So if you guys out there have snack recipes that Alex should try,
And I'm talking
on Facebook or
yeah, I'm
Instagram.
Talking poolside snacks that I can make in the morning. That's what I like to do in the summertime. People, my idea of the perfect summer day. All right, so we'll go through this.
We're digging deep, boy.
This is the most ADD.
Yeah. It's like a Joe Rogan podcast.
So my idea of the perfect summer day is with nothing to do but hang out with friends or whatever. I like to get up early and wake up in the morning. Maybe eat something light and then maybe put some food on the smoker. What are you laughing at? But about 10 o'clock, I'm going to start fixing some form of snack because people are going to start showing up before lunch. You know, the hangout by the pool or whatever. It's going to be hot that day.
Keep going.
So I'm going to probably open me a cold one about 10 o'clock that morning. I'm going to make some snacks and have something ready for lunch. You know, we'll have a lunch snack. And then people's here hanging out, music playing, middle of the afternoon. We have dinner around 3 or 4. And when I eat, I'm going to night town.
Yeah.
So I'm probably not going to eat.
You're just going to prepare it for everyone else.
Yeah. And making it, everybody's like, you got to eat. You got to eat. And I'm like, I really don't want to eat. You know, I just, because I know I'm going to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So if I ever eat, they generally find me in here in the studio asleep on the couch. Everybody's outside at the pool and I'm in here in the studio and I lock the door on them. I don't care. Ain't nothing to me to lock the door and go to sleep, take me a nap. But yeah, snacks.
Oh, I appreciate you sharing that. I'm sure everybody want to know what day and life Alex Demore consists of in the summertime.
Well, you asked. So you asked the original question, right? Like,
I don't know.
What are you sorry that you ever got into? What is yours?
I don't know that I have one. One that came to mind was I almost went head first into buying all that stuff for that sausage stuffer and all that stuff the other day to make those sausage sticks. And I'm glad I didn't buy that stuff because I really didn't like. It was okay. Like, but it's just too time consuming.
What did I tell you? Don't buy that stuff. I've got everything we need to do that with. And you came over, we made it, and it was, they're good.
Yeah.
But it's not something you need to. And I think that's what's, all right, here's a crazy thought. And I don't know if it's a crazy thought or not, but it kind of speaks volumes to the friends group that we've always had. You know, we've always found a way to make do with what we've got together. And I've always been the one that wants to have my own stuff. Just like you want to have your own stuff. You don't want to have to borrow nothing or get anything. But I think as we've gotten older, it's like, hell, he's got that. I'll just go over there and use his. And when we was in our late 20s, like, I'm going to get this. I'm buying this. And I'm glad you didn't buy that stuff either, because I got plenty of it.
No, I eat it. Don't get me wrong. I love eating it. But to prepare it, like, I don't want to make the time to make it. Now, I did buy the jerky gun the other day and made some jerky, and I'm glad I done that.
The pantomime of the jerky gun.
Which one did you buy? Which one did you buy?
I bought the...
Is it the one like I've got?
I don't know.
What's the brand of it? Is it a Wild Digit?
I bought the Cabela's.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I bought the Wild Digit one off of Amazon, and it's stainless. I've had the plastic ones, so it's just like the one at Cabela's. Yeah.
I didn't buy the short one. I bought the long. I think it's 15 ounce.
How do you load it?
It come with a big round, like 4-inch pipe thing. Look on the top. You screw to the top. It's got like a big funnel. Looks like a big open funnel at the top, and you take the head off of it. You take this where the You screw the end on there, you know, where the
it's like a caulk gun.
Yeah, but you take the end of it off, pull it back like a grease gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Unscrew the top, and then you put the funnel on it.
You mean tell you a tip?
And you throw the meat in there.
Before, when you're reloading it, take the cap off before you pull it back. That way you don't have air in the actual funnel or stick or whatever you're pushing it out.
Oh, it just slid right down in there. I had to shake it just a little bit. It'd be nice if you almost had like a tube loader. You can load it.
So I mix my meat in, you know, one of those. Hey, do you got one of my plastic totes?
No, I brought it back.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. I'm missing one.
No, I I made that jerky the other night. It was good. It the seasoning needed a little more. I made the first one with of course I bought the wrong pack, I guess, but I bought the teriyaki. It wasn't bad. I need a little more. I think those things say 5 pounds. For the season, I almost feel like you should do like 4.
No, I tell you what you do.
A little more seasoning.
Soy sauce. Mm-hmm. I always add soy sauce and then get some form of. And shout out to old Stale Cracker. I have bought that Cajun two-step. Have you tried it?
Mm-mm.
Let me tell you something. I have put it on salad, spaghetti, put that on a cracker, dude.
Yeah.
He ain't lying. It ain't hot. The best seasoning I've ever used. Everything, if you're coming to the house this summer, you're going to be eating that Cajun two-step. I will order a case of that stuff if I have to have it on hand.
They sell it at Walmart now.
They do. That's where I bought it at. Delicious. It's what I made. I put it on the roast in Illinois.
Put that on that yard pimp.
Yeah. You got that yard pimp up here, smack a feathers off of him and cook him, dude.
I don't see him much on TikTok no more.
No, I'd like to do an episode with him.
He got big.
Oh, D-Wask and them did one with him.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something else that I was just like, man, I'm glad I didn't do that.
This has been the most random talk about it outdoors episode we've done.
It should
yet.
Be. I mean, people get tired of hearing about the same old stuff. You know, I do. I mean,
yeah,
go deer hunting.
But you know, somebody that turned you talk about barbecue. You were barbecuing. You're probably the one that kind of in. You, the one that made me want to barbecue more, when you lived in that house over there that Mulkey lives in now, you would cook ribs and stuff all the time and kind of got me intrigued. But you know, somebody else is Uncle Richard. Uncle Richard always barbecued,
yeah,
and was always talking about barbecuing and stuff like that back in the day. So I love barbecuing. And that,
me too.
That pellet smoker,
that's the only way to go.
That's the best thing I've ever bought in my life. I wish I'd have won that one. Nick won. That's sorry, Joker.
You won one?
Yeah, Ducks Unlimited.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, $20. $1,100 grill.
Yeah, he got a Rectech. I couldn't afford a Rectech. I had to buy a Pit Boss.
I also own a Pit Boss.
Have you cleaned it?
Yeah.
Like taking it apart completely and vacuumed it out and everything? Oh, yeah. I did mine the other day. If anybody doesn't clean your Pit Boss or your pellet smoker, you better do it because it cooks way better when it's clean.
Yeah.
I got a grill off the side of the road. Remind me. So we were leaving our family Christmas party, uh-huh. and in typical D-board fashion, one of my aunt Gail, suggested that she said, "Hey, there's a grill up here at the trash cans on this road. Why don't you go up there and see what it looks like?" So I ran up there and looked at it, and I was like, "Dang, it looks like a good grill." And went and got my had to come home, get truck, went and got my brother. Well, let me rewind. I had to get my brother in the Jeep to come get the truck because my dog was out. So I had to catch my dog. We came put my dog up and we went and got it home. And it's a Broilmaster premium gas grill. And I don't know if you've ever seen a Broilmaster or not, but I'm going to show it to you before we leave tonight. It's a $1,700 gas grill. It's a cast aluminum frame. And it's one of the most touted gas grills that they are. A Broilmaster.
Who throws that out?
I think they were moving and they couldn't take it with them. They had put it in.
You can afford a grill that expensive.
I don't know if they bought it. Maybe somebody bought it for them and they weren't into barbecuing.
It was still on their front porch, Josh. So I don't.
It was on the back porch.
Well, they turned. Yeah, I knocked. I never got it out there when they turned the lights on. They was yelling at me like, "Hey, get my grill. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm loading it up.
I'm getting it right now.
I'm getting it. So.
Since I talked about a little bit some things I want to do for the year, what's some things you guys want to do for the year that you look back now for 2024, you're like, "Man, I'm gonna change this or do this or try this."
So 2024 for me, one of my goals is I'm trying to get way more into predator hunting. I'm trying to figure out, I mean, Alex has every piece of ground locked up in North Georgia, so I've got to find places to go. So I've actually started putting some feelers out there with some of the veteran groups and stuff like that to see if I can find some places to go. Because
Alex won't take him with him, is what he's saying.
That's not at all. I mean, I'll go anytime he invites me. He generally says, "Hey, you want?" And I say, "Yeah, absolutely."
Yeah.
So... But that's one of my goals, is try to find a handful of places to be able to go and do some predator hunting. Right. And then in terms of deer hunting, right now it's looking like Nebraska. And then I don't know beyond that. We're still in the talking phases of what the talk about it trip might be or whatever.
Nebraska prairie stuff? Spot and stalk?
No, it'll be... southeast Nebraska, if we go and if we can get a tag.
Okay.
So if last I read, I think there's 3,000 statewide tags, and they're first come, first serve, and they go on sale in like July.
Okay.
So I'll be sitting there clicking like I'm trying to buy tickets to a Taylor Swift concert or something.
You might like
Taylor Swift?
No.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
I don't dislike her, but I don't care one way or the other, I guess is easier way to say.
I want to kill turkey for myself in the spring. Nearly got it done last year. Really, really came very close. I've got an idea of where I can go and kill a turkey this year. I would love to kill one with my bow. That's something I want to do. I've got some places I can't shotgun hunt. They're bow only, and there's some turkeys there, but I want to call in my own turkey and kill one. I think that's something that I need to do for myself. I mean, last year it was fun to go, and I never really went. Cody and I went a couple of times together, but that was really the only time. You and I didn't even hunt together at all. I mean, maybe make a turkey hunting trip. I was telling Josh that I'm going to kind of change it up a little bit this year on what I want to do for everything. And we'll just see what I don't want to. I don't want to plan so far ahead. I want to kind of take it with a grain of salt and see what the year holds. Not going to have to be as gone as much because we're not doing as many trade shows. We're going to do the meal. Talking trade shows earlier, we're going to do the meal again. It'll be in March, the weekend before youth season. And of course, NWTF will be there, and then GON show, and maybe go visit the cruiser guys at some of their trade shows they're going to. Maybe we can come in for a day and bring people to it or whatever. But I think that my big goal for this year is to get on a turkey and try to get Sawyer on a turkey. He's already geared up wanting to kill a turkey. Last year we went a couple times and I think he and I can try to get that done maybe and get him a turkey killed and make some plans for next deer season. My brother's actually been talking about deer hunting.
I'm a damn.
And which has never been something he's cared anything about, but he's got two boys and he's wanting to get them out in the woods a little bit and get to experience some stuff. But here after the first of the year, right after the first of the year, dad's getting his squirrel dogs tuned up. Me and him, Sawyer's going to start doing some squirrel hunting. He's wanting to take Sawyer and get him.
You didn't go last year, did you?
Mm-mm. Nope, didn't go a time. But I got me a new little rocket over there it's a shooter that I'm going to be able to squirrel hunt with a little bit. And I've got a scope coming for Santa Claus going to bring me. So I'm going to put it on, get it sighted in, and I'm gonna shoot some squirrels. I like it.
Talk about getting in-town stuff.
Well, hold on a minute now. Let's see what your plans are for this year. I know you're going to go up out the NWTF, whoop up on all them boys and stuff, calling competitions, everything else.
What did he call? Did he say grand champion? Is that what he's?
It's a grand national.
Grand national.
That'd be nice. I have a nice ring to it.
You got to hang that here. I'm sorry. It's not going in your basement. It's going in the studio.
I was
going to
put it above my bed.
You're right.
I was going to put it on a necklace. Wear it everywhere.
Look like Flavor Flav walking around with that thing on.
What was the question?
You asked
2024.
No, what are you going to do different this year?
I kind of said that about the film and stuff. But
big trip for 2024. First off, just go first trip. What's the first trip for you going to be?
For turkey hunting?
Sure.
Only trip I got planned out of state is just Iowa, Minnesota. So of course Georgia, and then I think I may try to do a late Tennessee hunt again, maybe not Memorial Weekend late again, but as soon as I get back from up north. So no out west trips this year. So looking forward to going up and hunting a little flatter country. Should be a good time. So other than that, just hitting a bunch of calling competitions as much as I can. If they're within 6-8 hours, I'm probably gonna try to hit them all.
You gonna let me ride with you?
Yeah, come on. Bunk in a hotel, and
I think that may be something that I was thinking about this that would be cool to document. I've not seen that done. You know, there's a lot of guys that run these calling competitions. Why not document the journey? You know, and kind of tell your story behind that.
The road to Nashville.
There you go.
2024.
You just coined it. The road to Nashville, 2024. I mean, and I think that would be a great series.
That's one of the things, actually, I didn't even mention, but that's one of the things that I talked to Alex about for me next year is trying to document from the beginning phases of planning, like, say, the trip to Nebraska. And it may not be that one. It may be a different one. But the beginning phases of planning and figuring out, you know, I'm not necessarily going to show everybody where I'm going or anything, but what I'm doing to be able to get prepared for before I go scout. And then maybe go back and do a second scout and then actually go out and try to be successful.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I would like to try to do because I do think that having that storyline of the progression of preparation, you know, because we talk about, you know, what gear we have and bag dumps and all that kind of stuff, but
still didn't get mine done.
But, well, it's probably going to take you a year to edit it, right?
Probably.
So my ultimate goal for, you know, in terms of deer hunting And it's not necessarily 2024. I mean, like 2024 would be great, but my target is to try to put myself in a in an opportunity to take a Pope and Young class deer. Not necessarily for the record book or anything like that, but because I've never seen a deer like that from the stand. You know what I mean? And I know it can be done, and I know if Alex can do it, I can probably do it too.
Right.
Now, he's had a lot more years of experience doing it, even though I'm an old man. But I have the benefit of being an adult when I'm learning all this stuff. It's not like I'm a kid with a kid's attention span.
Right.
So I can try to cram more knowledge in and more, you know, I also have a little bit better resources than a
kid
say,
does.
Say a, even a 20-year-old does. You know what I mean? Like, I've worked hard to be able to give myself opportunities to do some of the things I want to do. And so that's my plan.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited, man, for this year. I think 2024 is going to be a big year for myself. For just looking at the next couple of months, not looking too far deep. I don't know that I'm going to spend of course my 1 week out of town for turkey hunting is going to be a big hit, but I think I'm going to try to do a little bit more deer hunting, next year, early season. And I'll say that every time, but
are y'all trading places? You're going to be the turkey hunter. And you're
going to I mean, I just need to jump on them quicker, man. I hate hunting hot weather up front, and I'll say it to probably the day I die, man. I wish Georgia moved their season back to October 1st. I mean, even though you're taking
your mouth, I love that.
Even though they're moving opportunity out, I just hot weather and deer hunting to me don't.
Man. I wish they'd move it forward a week, dude. It's notorious, absolutely notorious. They change that last week before season every single year for me. If I could get on those deer a week earlier, I'd kill
just
way
go hunt.
More. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if Georgia went to something kind of like Tennessee did and open it up for one weekend or something, and then
be fine,
and then close it back to October because, man, it's just so hot I can't get into it. But generally, there's a lot of big deer killed early on. But I don't know. That's good for me. I was going to ask a question a second ago, but I forgot where I was going.
You got us a thoughts by Nick.
I got a couple questions. I don't have no thoughts.
While you're putting that together, I just wanted to throw it out there. I hope everybody has an absolutely amazing Christmas, and be mindful that you don't have to buy everything before Christmas. You can tell your kids that Christmas is a day late this year and buy discounts on toys and stuff after Christmas.
Or you could just change the calendar. I don't think they'd know.
Yeah, I mean,
how many days till Christmas?
Six?
12?
I thought about that today. That's pretty funny. You know, some whole redneck out there is doing that right now. He's like, catch that blue light special down there at Kmart. Gonna be good, baby. Take the kids camping for a few days. Santa comes tomorrow on the 25th, and it's actually the 26th. Yeah. So, mm-hmm.
What was your question?
What's the thoughts by Nick? Nick to air inside of 2023.
I have a Nick influenced question for you.
Let's hit it.
So, do you guys do like a big Christmas dinner?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Christmas dinner thing?
Well, our Christmas dinner is Jessica's family comes Christmas Eve here, and we do snacks, and it'll be like pizza rolls and Taco Bell and stuff.
Homemade
like that.
Pizza rolls?
No, it's definitely not that. That tickled me the first year I seen that.
Did you say Taco Bells?
Oh yeah, Taco Bell.
Yeah. Like you go pick up a.
They'll get a sack full of tacos and crystals and all kinds of stuff.
Sack it full is of a, crystals.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be that kind of stuff on the table.
Hmm. What about you, Nick?
Not really a dinner. We do.
We do breakfast at my dad's.
Do
so
breakfast,
Christmas
yeah.
Day.
Breakfast is my thing.
Yeah, that's my wife's favorite thing is Christmas morning breakfast.
Yeah,
we go to dad's every year and eat. We'll open presents here at the house after Santa's came and visited the night before, and we'll do everything here at the house with the kiddos, and then we'll head up to my dad's and. Exchange gifts with them. He always cooks salmon patties and gravy and biscuits and bacon. So that's you cool. like Midland or side meat or
Midland meat?
You like bacon? Mm-hmm. I love bacon. You like bacon or sausage?
Breakfast
bacon wrapped sausage.
Sausage.
Yeah, I say I'm a bacon guy. Give or take sausage. Yeah.
But the best sausage in the world is the Ingles in Canton. It's the only place that's got it. Snow Creek.
Dang good sausage. Some of the best.
Best sausage you'll buy anywhere. You can only get it at the Ingles in Canton. Ingles and Jasper don't sell it. Ingles and wherever don't sell it. Ingles and Canton. What was you going with that?
Oh, I was just asking.
Oh, you're just asking. Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, that's the breakfast, kind of question I would expect you to ask from time to time.
Yeah, breakfast is it. Man, I got, here, let me hit two. What's more irritating in the stand? A barking squirrel, not a barking squirrel like there's a deer coming. I'm talking about right above your head. Crows, a hawk, or bubble guts?
I would go with crows.
I'm going to go bubble guts. I hate crows. God, I hate them. I hate them with a passion. Crows and tomato cages, I hate them both.
To be fair, anything that makes noise and limits my ability to hear other things that are happening is an irritant for me.
I mean, like if there's a squirrel like right above me and it constantly is barking for no reason, but crows, when there's a pile of them and they're messing with something, usually, you know, probably a hawk, they're probably messing with it, or
an owl.
Yeah, something. Or,
you know what, hunting is
tomato cages.
Yeah.
You hate tomato cages?
I ain't never told you that story.
I probably not. You might as well tell it on here. We're down some deep ones.
So, sorry, Willio. Preface that. When I was probably 13, 14, we went camping, and somebody said they wanted some cigarettes. Well, Uncle Wilbur smoked cigarettes, and I decided I'd go to the shop and see if he'd left any laying around. And in the darkness, trying to get to the shop, I ran up on a garden slap full of damn stacked up tomato cages. And I got in amongst them things in the dark, son. They beat me like Conor McGregor 5 rounds. Could not get loose from them. I was in there, tore me all to pieces. So the next morning I woke up to crows waking me up. So my hatred for crows and tomato cages was formed 23-something years ago.
Yeah.
I should have known better. That's what I get for trying to steal cigarettes from a favorite uncle.
This is not really a thought nor a question, but I'm gonna tell you a story that happened to me one time, and then you guys tell me if it's ever happened to you. But my question really, I guess, is have you ever been shot at? But one time we were rabbit hunting and I was a kid. I was probably, we were probably 11 or 12 years old. My cousin was with me, and I had a single shot 410, and he had my 12 gauge single shot, and we were hunting this place up in Hill City, up in Jasper. Had turned the dogs loose, whatever, come back around there. And for whatever reason, we're standing there next to the truck, and my cousin had the gun pointed down at the ground, and I can't recall what they said. I can't recall if they said, is that gun loaded or if he was messing with it. But it was a single shot New England. I still got the gun. And he pulled the hammer back on that thing. I can't remember if he let it go or if he said, no, it's unloaded, watch. And shot, and he was literally, when it went off, it was probably 6 inches to the right of my foot. He nearly blew my foot off and scared me to death when I was, I mean, he got his ass whooped. I mean, he got a TikTok. I mean, nearly blew my foot off on there, but that's probably the closest I've ever been shot at or been shot at.
Closest I've ever come, not being shot at, but accident like that, was one of those old 742 Remingtons. You know, you rack them back and you had to let it go or it wouldn't load, and let it go and it went off.
You didn't stand?
No, I was standing in the field at Big Ten.
Oh.
Yeah, it's probably the closest I've ever been. Cody rattled my ears one time. I thought I shot with that damn .22 250. Cody came out and I was going to shoot it, and it, of course, hunger hog there. Couldn't let it be. And no, I had a shotgun. It was about 60 yards. And it kind of was like, right here, right here. And he shot, and it busted every eardrum I had. My ear's still ringing to this day off that gun.
Yeah.
But that's probably the closest call. But I can tell you one thing, like you said about guns, my daddy would have beat me with an inch of my life, because the one thing that we were always told was there's no such thing as an unloaded gun, and never trust a safety.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things.
Yeah.
So mine's a little bit different. I was not in the outdoors. I was about 19 or 20, and I was dating a young girl. I mean, she was my age, but
she was 12.
We were from different backgrounds, and she had some friends that were of a crowd that I probably didn't need to be around in the first place, and we didn't date for very long. Matter of fact, I think we stopped this afternoon that I'm talking about right now, but we went to a friend of hers' house. She was there to pick something up, or I forget what it was, but we walked in and this guy had a pistol sitting on the table, and she picked it up thinking it was a toy, and she pointed that joker at me, and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And she was this close to pulling the trigger, and that he had a loaded pistol just sitting on the table.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So luckily she didn't shoot me. She would have shot me in the abdomen is what would have happened. I mean, she pointed it straight at my gut. And
oh my God.
Yeah. I was like, dude, you obviously haven't been around guns much, but thank you for not.
I bet you think about that a lot.
I actually hadn't thought about it till you asked me that question for a long time.
Sorry.
But that's okay. I didn't get shot, so everything worked out. But
I'm gonna save that question and leave it on the list. I'd like to ask some of these other guys, but one more happened to me. I was down at Johnson County, Georgia, with Ryan and them one time, and they got a field. On the edge of that field, it has a lot of tall pines around the edge of it, and then there was a section that they now own that backs up to it is a 100-acre square block, and it was clear cut. And on the opposite side of that, there was another 75-acre block, which they own both parcels now. But before, that was a hunting camp. So I went over on the edge of this field, climbed up in one of these pine trees in my API climber, about 40 foot in the air so I could see both ways. And these people are over there hooping and hollering, drinking. I could hear music, hear talking, yada, yada, yada. It was getting about prime time for deer hunting, and I hear, and I knew they were shooting, and I said, Lord, I turned around in that tree, and I said, Lord, if you let me get the ground, I promise I won't come back up here. I could hear them bullets going through them pine trees above my head. I was scared to dang death.
And you should have been.
I was scared. I was like, I didn't want to pull in there because they had been drinking and say something, you know, and get shot there. So I went back to Mike's, and I was like, my hands were shaking. I was scared to death. I didn't think I was going to get turned around in that tree and climb down.
Not a lot of people have ever experienced the hiss and the whip of a bullet going by.
No.
Well, let me tell you, go to Iowa public land.
I bet.
First year I ever went up there, we went to that public ground, and I was walking it. I could hear slugs hitting the tree. It had snowed, and it had probably snowed 6-8 inches that year, and I could hear slugs busting limbs, and then you'd hear it. You'd hear the report way after the bullet. But them slugs, when they hit and I guess they're some kind of hedge apple or Osage orange or something. When they hit them, son, they ring. I mean, and it's, I've had them zing over my head like that several times. But
not fun.
I did get shot in the face one time.
With a BB gun?
Mm-mm. With a 58 caliber Enfield three-bander reenacting. When I say shot in the, it wasn't nothing but powder, but it hit me right in. So we were I don't remember what battlefield we were at. It was somewhere near Shiloh, Tennessee. We were doing training. We were just, you know, up there practicing, reenacting, basically. And I went off in this holler, and they were basically surrounding us. They had pulled up on us pretty good, and they surrounded us, and I was crawling up a ditch. And I don't know that the boy knew I was there, or maybe he did. I don't know. But he came down over the top of that ridge and was about 20 foot from me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was yawning.
And pulled the trigger, and it powder burned my face. I closed my eyes when I seen it about to happen, because I knew, and I went to cover my face, and it came through my hands. It it flared my face and blacked my face. And I won't never forget David Norton, this boy that reenacted with us. He was on the other side of the holler, and before I could get, I believe before I hit the ground, he had hit that boy, like punched him, because I mean he thought he'd killed me. I mean it. I was like, I'm all right. It's you know, but it was dangerous. I mean, so I guess it's close I've come to
very dangerous
getting shot. But no, thank the good Lord, I've never been shot. Oh, Tyler Bishop, you know he got shot. Mm-hmm. Turkey so, hunting.
One of the guys that plays on the church softball team that I've been part of with my dad for the longest time. His name is Chuck Standridge. He got shot at deer camp this year.
Oh wow!
And luckily, he seems as though he's gonna come out of it with minimal lasting effects. But he got shot. He said something about it being within like a quarter inch of hitting his spine. I mean, it punctured a lung. Like, I mean, it messed him up bad. He's lucky he's alive. Mm-hmm. But he didn't really tell a lot of this. I mean, he posted on Facebook, and I haven't spoken to him. We aren't close. Like, I wouldn't text back and forth with him or anything like that. But he had posted on Facebook kind of his version of the story of what happened. And it was not very illiterate. It didn't illustrate very much the picture. He basically said he got shot while he was sitting at the deer camp table. And I'm guessing it was an accidental discharge in camp.
Yeah.
And
that's one thing we never, you know, everybody never, we never got guns out at camp. You know, if they got out, they were unloaded in camp. I don't ever remember a time. We just didn't. You don't play with guns. I mean, I had a casing on a .22. I guess this was the closest accident that I ever had. I had that bullet for years tied to a piece of rope. It was the back end of a bullet blew up, and it hit me in the powder burned my face. It was out of a Ruger pistol. I was shooting it. And mm-hmm. The back end of a .22 case blew up. So when it came out, the hole came out and it hit me in the, you know, I had that case though forever. It blew up. So,
Yeah, I'm going to keep that question on the list.
Quick tip for anybody talking about shooting. If you've got one of the M&P 22 ARs, like a .22 rifle or an automatic .22 pistol, and you're having trouble with it jamming, take your shells, put them in a Crown Royal bag and spray them with WD-40 and shake it around. It'll lubricate those shells. 22s are nasty anyway, mm-hmm. so it'll lubricate it and it'll make them shoot. I've got a Walther 22. If you don't do that with it and you shoot 20, 30, 40 times, it'll jam up on you. So
yeah,
little tip there. Little spray
felt,
it down.
Little felt satchel.
Yeah. So I'm good, man. I'm good too. It's great episode. Like that's
2 hours.
You know, it's been a fun one. I hope y'all enjoyed listening to it. Like Josh said, make sure if you've got any snack tips you want to share with us, send those over. 2024 is going to be a huge year. If you got somebody you want to hear us get on, make sure you send us a message or whatever. There is a little contest running right now. If you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, make sure you go over to the post on our Instagram or our Facebook and comment done. And while supplies last, Nick will send you over one of his mouth calls for turkey hunting. So you better get on that quick. We've got several people that's already done it, and he's going to be mailing those out very soon. So you got anything else, Josh?
Yeah, go to talkaboutitoutdoors.com and get you a shirt or hat to close out the year.
It's not going to get there by Christmas.
No, it won't get there in time for Christmas, so don't give for that. But, you know.
This episode drops on Christmas Day.
Yeah, so. go ahead and go on there and get you a little something. Maybe we'll see you out in public somewhere. Send us a picture on Facebook of you wearing it or whatever. It'll make Alex's day.
It does make my day. Nick?
I'm good, man. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and a Happy coming up new year.
Yeah, and definitely
be safe out there on the roads. Hug your loved ones.
That's right. That's right. Make sure that you do something you enjoy to end out the year. Hope you spend it with someone you love. We can't thank you enough for the support that you've given us in 2023. 2024 is going to be just as eventful, we hope, and definitely looking forward to seeing everyone in the new year. If you need anything, reach out to us. We appreciate you. We want you to come back and be with us again when you can. And remember, smile as you go, but don't forget, mount the memories. I'm going to go fire that. Building the foundation of your life starts at the base, and the stronger it is, the better. Talk About It Outdoors is proud of our strong partnership with United Concrete and Paving and the foundation of support they provide. Whether your new home being built needs concrete work, or that driveway you're tired of beating all the bearings from your pickup needs a paving, Michael and his team can provide any residential or commercial project support you might need from the ground up. If you're tired of tripping over that unsettled patio slab, or a future shop build needs a smooth start, United Concrete and Paving can get you going when you need it most. Give them a call at 404-831-3036 and make sure you tell them them TAI boys are where you heard it first. A few years back, when an overbearing and overgrown backyard became an eyesore, I looked for a solution to resolve. LRS Land Services created a stunning and complete transformation turnkey at an affordable price with their mulching services. Not limited to mulching, LRS can provide turnkey grading and clearing, maintenance, right-of-way clearing, and even development for any and all forestry needs. With an innovative outlook on what is best for your land and a completely different approach than others, LRS can transform your overgrown eyesore into a beautiful landscape of your dreams. Give them a call at 404-889-1105 or check their work out on Facebook at LRS Land Services. Logan and his team are ready to make your land brand new again. Are you in need of a decluttering barn or garage slap full of stuff you just don't need? Or is your construction site needing a dumpster? Give our buddy Tony at Georgia Junk and Dumpster Rental a call. With services ranging from junk removal to roll-offs, Georgia Junk is here to help with any and all removal needs. If it's time to get that parking spot back or the boat needs a place inside, Tony and his team can surely assist. Servicing Cherokee, Cobb, Bartow, and surrounding counties, give them a call at 404-406-3501 or check them out on Facebook at Georgia Junk. Clean up the yard in short order with Georgia Junk.